10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Sterling, every damn night. I'm Casey Bartholomew. Thanks for tuning in. Walter's out. Passed out, probably somewhere. Coming up, we're going to talk about pain at the pump and betting on the war. That's called coming up.
It's Casey Bartholomew. He's better than Phil Donahue. And he's on Sterling every damn night.
That's right, Casey Bartholomew sitting in tonight, Sterling, every damn night. Give us a call, 855-839-1210 is the number here. You may have heard about it during the news. Just 1 week after the United States and Israel began its war with Iran, the impacts are already being felt at the pump. I saw it. Gas where I live went up 50 cents a gallon. I paid $2.49 last week. Just before it hit, I don't drive much. So just before it hit, I got about a half a tank left, and now it's up to $2.99 a gallon. So that's 50 cents. That's a 50 cents bump. That's pretty serious. Nationwide gas prices jumped an average of 27 cents compared to last week. And Pennsylvania is one of the states feeling it the most. New Jersey and Delaware are also seeing increases. As of Saturday, March 7th, drivers in Pennsylvania are paying an average of $3.54 a gallon, which is 44 cents higher than a week ago. In Delaware, where they only have four cars anyway, they saw the same jump with an average now $3.34. In New Jersey, drivers are facing an average of $3.28. The price jump is hitting people who rely on driving to pay their bills the hardest. Uber drivers and the like are the ones, I guess, they're saying getting screwed the most, although everybody is. I don't have the exact number, but I was hearing about it during a newscast that said that gas in California, where my dad lives, and could get up to about $8 a gallon if things keep going the way they are. If things keep going at the level they are going at, you could get up to easily in California, $8 a gallon. Now, in California, they have the highest gas taxes in the entire country. You get taxed if you drive by a gas station and look at it. I remember I was out there years ago. I can't remember where I was living, but it was like the gas was relatively cheap. And I paid more than $5 a gallon in California. This was years ago. And that was double what I was paying where I lived at the time. So that's a big deal out there, but they don't want anybody driving in California. They're one of the places that is eventually going to have one of those taxes where they charge you by the mile to use the roads that you already paid for. They're going to do that. Those enhancement and for upkeep, and like they're just trying to steal. That's all there. There's just a bunch of filthy thieves out there. That's all there is to it. They talked to an Uber driver. His name is Hussein Zohiruddin, is how I'm going to mispronounce that. I bet he can't say my name either. He says, I'm an Uber driver. For me, it's too bad. Last week, I made money because gas was low, but right now it's too high. It's crazy. That's what's crazy. According to AAA, one reason for the jump is the conflict in the Middle East. Gee, do you think? You seen that, Mac, during the passing through the Straits of Hormuz? I can't remember what it is. But they block it all off. Now there's no ships going through there because they think the Iranians are going to drone it. I don't know why we don't carpet bomb that whole area right there and just take it over. I mean, we're in, right? If that's what's going to keep the flow of gas coming through, we just carpet bomb that sumbitch and just get everything out of that general area, and then we let the ships flow freely. That's what we need to do. So according to AAA, one reason for the jump is the conflict in the Middle East, which has sent prices higher to the mid-$70 per barrel range. That is already old news. That was this morning, I believe. As of right now, on Sunday, due to its recent surge, gas has reached for the first time since July of 2022, $100 per barrel. Now, like I said, the first time since July 2022, as the ripple effects of the U.S. war on Iran continue to hit global markets, oil rose again after a record 35% jump last week. In addition to surging oil prices, U.S. retail gas prices also soared to a national average of more than $3.45 per gallon. That's going to go up. That's easily going to go up. There, some people are saying you're going to reach $4 a gallon probably by the end of the month, if not sooner. The war continues to hit oil infrastructure and push refineries to cut production. Kuwait's state oil company said it was trimming output, while the United Arab Emirates state-run oil company has said it's managing some output, hinting at possible production cuts. There's a reason for that. It's because they can't get through the straits. They can't get through the Straits of Hormuz, which is what it is. I'm reading it right now. When they can't get through there, there's no reason to pump the oil because they don't have any place to put it. So that's one of the reasons that that's going on. Now, it's off southern Iran, which, again, if we're in this, we're in this, right? If this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. We just carpet bomb it, wipe that entire area out, make it unlivable, and then we'll move some military people in. And if that means boots on the ground just to keep the price of gas lower, I'm cool with that. But it's they say it remains essentially impossible for most oil and liquefied natural gas tankers as they try to reach the global market. Consumers have already begun seeing increased gas prices at their local gas stations, and at least one analyst predicts prices will rise further. According to Gas Buddy analyst Patrick Dehan, he said on X earlier, "I now estimate the chance of the national average reaching $4 a gallon in the next month is now 80%. I'd put it at 100. I think we're on our way there. I think we're all going to be paying for this for a long, long, long time. I think we're going to be, until we finally flatten Iran, which I don't think that's a bad thing. I know we're supposed to be bickering about that. I was a little tiny kid. And I still remember when the hostages were taken in 79. It's one of my earliest memories, in fact. And I can remember driving my brothers with my parents to school. And I would be sitting in my little seat in the back seat. And I can remember seeing the words "Iran sucks" spray painted on the side of a house as we drove by the freeways in California, where I'm from. I vividly remember that. It's one of my earliest memories, is seeing that. So I'm still mad about that. So I don't care what we do to Iran. I don't care how violent it gets. I don't care how bomby it gets. I don't care how many of their military people. I don't care about any of that, because I still have a thorn in my side about 79. But either way, I want to know if you've noticed gas go up, if you want to chime in, and if you've already noticed you're paying significantly more. Like I said, where I live, it's up 50 cents a gallon in the past 2 weeks. I don't drive a whole lot, spend a lot of time at home watching TV and scratching myself. So I still have a half tank of gas from when I filled up 2 weeks ago. But eventually, this will probably hit me when it's $4 a gallon. And then by the time I need gas again, there won't be an Iran. The Kurds will have taken over. We'll have bombed everybody out of it. And that'll be the end of that. And then I'll be able to stop complaining about it. But if you've noticed it, and what's the most you're paying or what the increase is that you've seen, feel free to give us a call, 855-839-1210. It's 855-839-1210. Also, when we come back, there's been some controversy. Apparently, people have won money betting on the Iran. What do you expect? We let people bet on every, and that's fine. That's fine. We let people bet on everything nowadays, and I don't care. I don't bet because I don't feel like throwing money away, and I'm not good at it, so I don't do it. But either way, there's a big controversy for that. We'll get into that and talk to you about all that stuff. It's Sterling every damn night. I'm Casey Bartholomew. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Let's dance in space.
I meet a lot of women that I can tell they want something to happen, but they've never had an experience with a woman.
That's the thing. They want you to be the starter kit lesbian.
And I'm like, I can't do this with you.
Videographer, persecuted. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling, every damn night.
This is Matthias Bohm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling, every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired detective Vic Ferrari. And on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, two thugs get knocked out after robbing a Chinese takeout place. Who delivered the knockout punch? Coming up in moments on Sterling, every damn night.
Florida is a beautiful mix of diverse people and cultures. Florida Stories is about them getting arrested. I'm James Parker, Florida Stories, still to come on Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Gentlemen's Club Appreciation Night. Details later, strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling! Sterling every damn night. Sterling across the USA.
It's Sterling every damn night. Casey Bartholomew sitting in tonight. Give us a call. 855-839-1210 is the number. I'm excited. We get to talk to Matthias coming up in about 15 minutes. Because the Oscars are coming up. And I don't think I've seen any of the well, Sinners. I saw Sinners. And that was it. And I always like to hear what he has to say. So we'll talk to him about new movies, Oscars, all kinds of stuff, whatever he wants to talk about. It's funny. We've been talking about the Iran war, which is funny in and of itself, isn't it? Okay, poor choice of words. Along with the oil prices, apparently, you know, you can bet on anything now, right? I love the shock of people. You've been able to bet on anything forever. You could bet on what color shirt somebody was going to wear. If somebody was going to wear a hat on the sideline, you could bet on this stuff and win and make money off of it. Now, I've never bet. I'm not a big better guy. When I go to Vegas, I usually just go for the pretty lights. I don't know, because I feel stupid throwing my money away on stuff. I went to Atlantic City a couple of times, and there's nothing but homeless people there. It's just a waste of my time to go there. I'd rather give the money to homeless people, and I don't give money to homeless people. But as the United States and Israel prepared for the war and later launched strikes against Iran, traders and online prediction markets wagered over $1 billion on every aspect of the conflict, drawing a wave of scrutiny. I guess except against, you know, for the people who won. I guess except that. I guess the people who didn't think the vote are the ones who are mad. 1 week after the attacks began, traders are still betting millions of dollars on who will be the next supreme leader. I think we already got that. The jackass's son. Nepotism. He's a Nepo baby. He's a Nepo Ayatollah is the one who's in charge now. But they're also betting on how long Iran will shut down the Strait of Hormuz, whether U.S. ground troops will enter Iran, which countries Iran will strike, whether the son of the late Shah will return, and dozens of other Iran-related questions. So everybody's really mad about Trump going to war. I guess probably they should be mad about the idea that people are actually betting on a war, betting on things that are going to cost people their lives. Before the attacks, so-called death markets emerged around whether Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, would be ousted, potentially through assassination, which ultimately happened on February 28th. That's been going on for decades. It was an old bit I used to do on a radio show decades ago. The Ghoul Pool. Not original, by the way. I heard about it from some guys in Los Angeles. The Ghoul Pool out there, and people bet money on it. That has been going on for decades. I think this is just where they're trying to feign shock and dismay because Trump started the war. So they're trying to, any aspect of that, Orange Man bad. We can't do, we have to be absolutely disgusted by this now. I guarantee you, there weren't always betting apps, but I guarantee you people bet on every aspect of the war. People who bet. Probably called bookies to bet on the Gulf War I under HW. Now, other sizable and well-timed bets placed mere hours before airstrikes began correctly predicted that strikes would soon occur, raising questions from critics about whether there was insider trading over the war by government officials or others who knew the war plans ahead of time. Did nobody watch the news? Before all, I know, again, we're trying to make, the politicians, evil, nasty, bad. That party's evil, nasty, bad. I know. I get it. 100%. Absolutely, positively understand. Okay? We were moving warships into the area. We had the largest U.S. military presence since the Gulf War in the area. We had Donald Trump on TV every day saying that it was about to happen. Anybody could have bet. It was probably a pretty safe bet. Now, the exact day, probably the exact time, exact location. I don't know if that's, I'm sure it was bet on. I'm sure about it. I have no doubt. All of that stuff. But everybody knew this was going to happen. He was saying it on TV every day it was going to happen. It's now routine for questions like these to arise after major geopolitical events with the rapid growth of prediction markets like Polymarket, where users bet on everything from elections, sports, business, entertainment, or even the daily high temperature in various U.S. cities. So there you can bet on the temperature. It's going to be in wherever, any place in the country. You can bet on U.S. elections, but people are shocked, shocked, I tell you, that somebody would bet on an election. These are bet. This is what these people usually do for a living. In a lot of these, they're major bets. These are probably what these people do for a living. They're probably monitoring news reports and everything like that. Hell, they give the odds. You ever, for the past, what, four presidential elections, I think? The New York Times has issued their odds the percentage that somebody is going to win or lose. At one point, Hillary Clinton was at like 88% or something in 2016. So they weren't very good at it, but they give the odds that somebody's going to win. Again, this is fake shock, right? And of course, it's Democrats who are calling for it because the Republicans are in power. None of these people were calling for it when Nancy Pelosi was doing insider trading. Nobody was doing that when that was going on, but that's what was happening here. So everybody's getting all worked up and bent out of shape about that. But of course it's happening because long before 2026, you could bet on literally everything. All right. I'm Casey Bartholomew, sitting in on Sterling every damn night, 855-839-1210. Mateus is coming up next.
Sterling every damn night. Oh, oh, oh. Sterling every damn night.
Casey Bartholomew sitting in for Sterling every damn night. Give us a call, 855-839-1210. It's time whenever I fill in. This is one of my favorite parts. I love talking about movies and stuff. And Mateus is with us from Hollywood. Hey, Mateus, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks so much, Casey. And boy, I have to tell you, I just drove through Sacramento yesterday. You're talking about gas prices in California.
Yeah.
I went to one of the big box stores that has a gas station, and it was $4.50 day before yesterday. And as I made my way from Sacramento to San Francisco. So we're not yet hitting the $7 and $8 prices, but it could happen. I mean, I don't remember ever paying much more than $6 in California in the past, but things may change.
Yeah, my dad lives out there. He lives in Palm Springs, and he always tells me about how horrible the gas prices is. He doesn't even have a car. We don't let him drive. So he doesn't even have to worry about it. But he gets mad when we drive past a gas station, stuff like that. But, yeah, it's crazy out there because you guys get the extra taxes and the mixtures you have to use and the corruption and the theft and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It just goes on and on.
It does.
On and on. So you were talking about Oscars earlier. I wasn't going to do it, but since you bring it up.
Well, we don't have to talk about Oscars.
No. Let's do it, man. We're here to chat.
I went and saw a movie today.
Yeah.
I could tell you about.
Okay.
It's called La La Land.
You saw that in a theater or you saw that at home?
No, I saw it in a theater. And they do this thing at the local theater near my house. It's called Flashback Cinema. And my son-in-law and I love that movie. So my son-in-law and I, a bunch of women, and a lot of guys who I'm sure were just good friends. We're all there, and they all watch in the middle of a Sunday watching a musical about love. So I'm sure that's all
that's
that was.
Right.
But yeah, my son-in-law and I, we loved that movie, and we saw that it was coming to the theater. We both went and saw. We went and saw it together.
Well, good for you. Speaking of California gas prices, that opening scene in that movie, all the cars are stopped on the freeway. That's what it's like over here.
It is. That's where I'm from. So in L.A., I'm from L.A. So that's why all that's left. I was taken aback by all those scenes. Yeah, I've sat in that traffic before. So let's talk about the Oscars. They're a week away.
Sure.
What are your predictions? What do you know?
Well, the voting closed this week for the members of the Motion Picture Academy Arts and Sciences for their picks, who will win the coveted Academy Awards this year for movies made in 2025. Now, just to review, as you mentioned earlier, Ryan Coogler's movie Sinners, the period bootlegger vampire movie.
It's just a vampire movie. You know, the first, I think, 35 minutes of that movie are great. Because it's all about this guy. He's coming back to town. The twin brothers coming back to town. I hope I'm not giving anything away. The movie's 6 months old. If you haven't seen it, it's on you. And it's about putting it. I thought it was going to be a mob thing where the people he got the money from were going to come back and try to get it. And I thought that was great. And then all of a sudden there's vampires. So what the hell?
Yeah, you know, well, it was certainly different. And it made Oscar history, Casey, by becoming the most nominated movie in the 90-plus years of the Oscars with an unmatched 16 nominations.
I don't know what that's about. I don't get that. That tells me that it was a bad year. 2025 was a bad year for movies. If a stock vampire movie gets, and it's a fine vampire movie, but it's a vampire movie, and it gets 16 nominations. I could go
and
on. And
a long one at that. Now, this was followed by Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another. That got 13 nominations. And the movies Frankenstein, Marty Supreme, and Sentimental Value each got 9. Yeah. And up for Best Actor, to remind everyone, are Timothy, I Don't Like the Arts, Chalamet, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan Hawke, Michael B. Jordan, and of course, for Sinners, and Wagner Moura. Now, the women nominated for actress in a leading role, for which the votes were just turned in this week, include Jesse Buckley, Rose Byrne, Kate Hudson, and Renata Renzve. And Emma Stone. Emma Stone's not good.
I love Emma. Well, she was in La La Land. I love Emma Stone.
Right.
I hated the last movie she won, but Pretty Things.
And that was a Frankenstein type movie.
That was weird. That movie was weird. And
well,
I didn't
Yorgos
see the
Lanthimos
new one.
Yorgos Lanthimos always makes these really surreal movies. I mean, that's what he's famous for. His best one that was off the wall was a couple of movies back called The Lobster. That one had Colin Farrell, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, where you decide if you're not married, you have to decide to become a monster or an animal or something like that, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, that was what it was.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one. Yeah, but I don't think Emma Stone. I don't think she has a prayer because she has two Oscars, and I didn't see that movie, so yeah. I don't even know what it was.
Her eyes are very wide apart.
They are. Listen, I would not kick Emma Stone out of bed for eating crackers. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
No, of course not. No,
but
you'd bring the crackers.
Yeah, exactly. Bring whatever you want, Emma. I'll do whatever you want. Who's going to? Well, your prediction on the men or the women, rather, the women.
Oh, I don't know. You know, Rose Byrne plays such a psycho in the movie she's in. They usually give the award to someone who has a terminal illness, terminal illness, or they're completely nuts, or they have some gut-wrenching thing that no normal human would express in the same way. I am the worst Oscar predictor ever. You know, I love movies. I've been in the business a long time, and every time, guaranteed, what I think will win never does. So, you know, if I just make oppositional choices, maybe I'll win this time. But the one I'm absolutely certain will lose, that'll take it.
Yeah. Kate Hudson, I think, has no... Kate Hudson and Emma Stone, I think, are out. I don't think they have a chair. So I think it's down to the other three. So I don't know. I haven't seen any of the movies, so I don't really know. The funny thing is I saw Sinners, and I saw Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I thought Frankenstein was fine. You know, I thought it was fine.
Good.
Yeah. I thought it was better than Sinners. But I've heard Timothy Chalamet is going to take that.
Well, yeah, sir. The Oscar voting closed before he decided to make his little pronouncement about performing arts venues, which sort of backfired on him on that interview with Matthew McConaughey. But it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, the arts organizations are seizing up on it. The Seattle Opera offered a 14% discount on their tickets with the event code Timothy. So, I mean, they're making it work for him. So inadvertently, he's probably helping the arts.
Probably, yeah.
While they make fun of him.
Yeah. Probably. The last movie, I haven't seen much that he's been in. I remember he was in, what was that? I'm not even explaining it very well, with Saoirse Ronan a few years back.
Now I'm completely, I'm drawing a blank. See, what you've done is this is a malaise that's affecting both of us.
I can't remember. Over
the airwaves.
Well, this Walter Sterling program. Yeah.
Walter probably is yelling at both of us from his radio right now.
You and I, we're great at talking about movies. Well, that one, you remember a couple years ago. That one with the blonde girl. Yeah. And he was in it.
The misfit listening now is doing the same thing. Yeah, it's the one with the... So anyway, the 98th Oscars are going to air. They're going to air live on ABC Sunday night, March 15th at 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Over here, it'll be a little bit earlier. Conan O'Brien returns to host for a second consecutive year.
And I can guarantee you something. I won't watch. I hate watching the... I think the Oscars should be... they should give what? Best actor, best actress... Supporting actor, supporting actress, film, maybe song, and then director and probably writer. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I think the Oscars should be an hour long.
It's not a popularity contest. The whole thing really started because there were dangers of strikes in the late 20s. And so the studios decided if we give the actors a little trinket, then maybe they'll be excited about going back to work. Yeah. That was really kind of behind the whole thing. And it wasn't even a trinket. It was just a certificate at the beginning. So it's basically the like disciplines of Hollywood admiring their own, the sound designers, the cinematographers. And of course, you have to put the people in front of the camera there. But most people just don't. They're not in it.
Just give the main, but the ones that people care about, and then the other people give them their little award. I used to be, I got nominated for Emmys for promotions writing.
Good for you.
I never won one. When I used to work for the Fox Broadcasting Network, and I would write promotions, and we would get Emmy nominations. We weren't on the show. In fact, we didn't even have the last time, I don't even think we had a get together. I think they just mailed them out. And I just, and that's how you found out you did or you won and you didn't win. You watched the mail, and if you got a cert, and you got the certificate, and you could go get the trophy. But I never got the trophy, so I never did my, but I got nominated a few times. But we didn't get to go because nobody cared. Who cares what I wrote in a little tiny office at Sunset Boulevard? Either way, what about the movies that came out? Yeah, the client. What about the movies that came out this week? Hoppers is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, Hoppers is actually pretty darn good. You know, the last two Pixar movies were lackluster, and this is the story of an animal lover, Mabel, played by Piper Herta, who was inspired to love nature by her grandmother. They'd sit by a lake and watch and listen to the pretty animals and the beauty of nature. But that whole area is in danger of development by the city's mayor, Jerry Generoso, voiced by John Hamm. He wants to build a freeway around the whole damn wooded lake area, which he's able to do because all of the animals have seemed to have mysteriously disappeared and left the area. So now 19-year-old Mabel, a youth nature activist, tries to stop the construction. Now, here's where it gets weird. She's got to find out why the animals are gone. So at the experimental lab at her school, she places her consciousness into a robot beaver. I'm speaking of the animal
Avatar.
Beaver that builds dams.
Yes.
Yeah, and so as the robot beaver with a consciousness, she makes friends with all the other beavers and figures out what's going on. I'm not going to tell you. And
Avatar.
Of course, she's incognito, so the other animals don't find out.
It's just anyway, it's Avatar. It's Avatar in cartoon form. That's it. Yeah. That works.
That's right. Anyway, it's fun, though. It's very, very fun. There's also the voices of Meryl Streep, Dave Franco, and Bobby Moynihan. You probably remember him from Saturday Night Live a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see the Pixar people return to top form with Hoppers because it's been a little lackluster. So that's what the movies this week. And, you know, it's doing pretty darn good business. It's the number one movie since Friday. It's made $46 million. So
there was a time when Pixar could do no wrong. I remember you used to get excited about the Pixar movies coming out, and it seems like they haven't been able to do anything right in about 10 years.
Of course, they were acquired by the Disney company.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's affecting their ability to do things right or not, because their creative stuff still is pretty much within their own tent within the Disney properties. But, one that's fun and laughing, and the audience was really having a great time with it.
That's good. That's good.
Fun for kids of all ages.
Yeah, that's why. That's the only reason I had kids is so I could go see cartoons, and now they're all too old.
We'll go anyway. We won't.
I could. I take my 17-year-old. He's like, Dad, really? No, he actually says, bruh, really? So that's what I have to deal with. All right, Mateus, thanks for the update. Always great talking to you.
Thank you, right. Casey.
You bet. Mateus on the movies every night. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the, speaking of L.A., you know, they give trophies and awards for anything. They're giving you a full medal today for the, I guess the LA Marathon was today, and they told people, if you want to quit partway through, we'll still give you your medal. It'll all still be good. We'll talk about that. That'll be coming up. I'm Casey Bartholomew. You're listening to Sterling every damn night.
It's Casey Bartholomew, because Walter's forgotten who is supposed to do Sterling every damn night.
Casey Bartholomew in on Sterling every damn night. Give us a call 855-839-1210. We've been talking about gas. We've been talking about a bunch of stuff, but we started out talking about gas prices and the like. Peter is on the line from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Peter, welcome to Sterling every damn night with Casey. How you doing?
Pretty good, except I had to pay $40 for 8 gallons of gas today, and that was with the cash discount.
So that would be $5 a gallon with the cash discount.
Correct.
In California.
Well, I want to emphasize is because California has such complicated requirements for the refineries, two of our major refineries in the state are closing down, including the one up in Benicia, California, which is just north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So experts are predicting that gas might go up to like $7 or $8 a gallon here pretty soon.
Why is it closing down?
Because, you know, they've had it with California and all, they just keep getting harassed by the state inspectors. And, so they just opted just to close the place down. They said, to hell with you. We'll just go somewhere else.
That's actually happening with a lot of industries within California. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the tax
issues. Another refinery in Southern California is scheduled to close as well. So, all I can say is, boy, if you don't want to be paying $5 a gallon for gas, please don't vote for Gavin Newsom.
Well, that's, you know, that's something I don't get. Like I said, I haven't lived there since 1999, but my family still lives in California. And every time I go visit, I'll talk about the price of gas where I live. It's $2.99 a gallon right now where I live. But they are, and they flip out about it. And the economy in California, they talk about how it would be the seventh largest economy in the entire world if it broke off on its own. But it's not managed very well. Everything costs an arm and a leg there. I mean, when I go visit, I can't wait to get out. So I don't understand why anybody would even consider Gavin Newsom for president. That's not even me talking politics. That's just me looking at the record. I can't understand why anybody would consider that guy.
Yeah. So, you know, between the taxes and all the regulations, I mean, it's just driving up the prices on everything, including real estate. You're like, they just can't build enough housing out here because, all the local county zoning and planning departments just make it so incredibly difficult just to build anything. Like they say, for someone to build a home in Santa Clara, California, it costs them almost $200,000 before they even pound a single nail to get all the permits.
Yeah, and in the rest of the world, there's other states. I think Missouri's one of them, where they are trying to do away with the state tax. And in California, they keep trying. They don't call it taxes; they call it revenue enhancement. Because if you say tax, that's bad. But same thing happens all the time, you know, everywhere.
Yep.
All right, Peter, I got to run, man. Thanks for taking I appreciate it. Sorry to cut you off. We're up against the clock. Thanks for calling Sterling every damn night. You want to join the conversation about anything, give us a call, 855-839-1210. That's 855-839-1210. Still got a bunch to get to when we come back. We are going to talk to you about Girl Scout cookies being sold at a pot dispensary. I'm Casey Bartholomew.
10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
It's Sterling every damn night. I'm Casey Bartholomew sitting in. Give us a call. 855-839-1210 is our number. Coming up, we are going to talk to you about Girl Scouts in New Jersey and where they're selling their cookies. That's all coming up on Sterling every damn night.
It's Casey Bartholomew. He's better than Phil Donahue. And he's on Sterling.
I think I'm only better than Phil Donahue because he's dead. I think that's the only reason that I'm better. And even that's questionable at that point. I am Casey Bartholomew sitting in on Sterling every damn night. Give us a call. 855-839-1210 is the number. This story caught my eye because I used to live here. So this is more than likely my daughter's old Girl Scout troop. But a Girl Scout troop's idea to sell cookies outside of a Mount Laurel, New Jersey marijuana dispensary, which is genius, by the way. And the only thing that would be better is if Doritos opened a pop-up shop outside of every dispensary. And I think they should just for the joke. Probably wouldn't make them any money. But I think they should just for the joke. The dispensary has drawn both praise and criticism from people who wear their panties too tight, prompting the cancellation of a planned follow-up sale. 2 weeks ago, the troop set up a cookie booth outside Daylight Dispensary, a family-owned recreational cannabis business that opened in 2023. The stand was positioned outside the exit door of the shop. Well, yeah, you got to wait until after they have it. If you're going to put munchies outside of the dispensary, you have to wait until after they have it. If they're going in, they don't want to spend their money on cookies yet. On the way out, they've got their stash. Now they need to prepare for the high, and that's when the cookies come in. Steve Cassidy, founder and CEO of Daylight Dispensary, said the troop first contacted the business about hosting a cookie sale in the year of our Lord 2024, but did not receive approval from the Girl Scouts of Central and Southern Jersey. I get it. You know, I think it's a genius idea. I think this is probably my daughter's old troop. although I don't know how many troops there are in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and that was a long time ago. So I don't know. But if you told me that my daughter was going to go sell Girl Scout cookies outside of a liquor store or a sex shop or a bar, I probably would not like that. In fact, I would probably not let her do it. Honestly, just because I'm not a fan of recreational pot. Look, it's legal. Great. That's what it is. You know, I'm not going to debate that. But if little girls are going to be selling cookies outside of it, I don't think that's the best idea ever. That's just me. And I wouldn't let my daughter do it. But he said the troop reached out again earlier this year after receiving approval to try the idea as a trial. And if it works, next year, everywhere. He said, Cassidy, the owner, said, about a month ago or maybe a few weeks ago, see, they can't even remember. They're so high. But a month ago or maybe a few weeks ago, they reached back out saying, hey, we got the green light to give this a go as a pilot program. The girls set up outside the dispensary with chaperones. Well, dear God, I hope so. I hope that we're not just putting the Girl Scouts alone outside of the recreational pot store. I hope the parents thought a little bit better about it. But anyway, they did. And they sold cookies to customers entering and leaving the store. Cassie said they set up shop outside, had a really great event, and we don't know if they're coming back anytime soon, but they're certainly welcome to come back whenever they like. According to Cassidy, the response from customers was enthusiastic because they're high. Because they're wasted. Of course the response is good. They want cookies. Said customers were thrilled to see it. We saw a lot of customers grabbing cookies, coming in super excited to show off what their favorite cookies were. That's weird. They were buying cookies from little girls outside and then running into the store and saying, I got Thin Mints! I got Thin Mints! That's odd. I find that odd. And that makes me, not want them to be able to do that. But he said they were grabbing cookies, coming in super excited to show off their favorite cookies. It was really cool, engaging event for us. However, as word spread, the cookie sell drew some criticism and unwanted attention. Cassie went on to say, I think not everybody felt the same way that it was a positive thing, and we still believe that it is, and we respect their decision. If they want to come back or not, that's totally up to them, and we respect that. If I were to guess, it's probably a mix of a little bit of stigma, but I think they have their own rules too, and maybe this went a little too far for them outside of their country, their comfort zone. Now, according to the cookie booth requirements, because if you have ever dealt with Girl Scouts when it comes to cookies, they will kill, they will gut you like a fish. You think the mob is bad? If you mess with Girl Scouts and their cookies, they will gut you like a fish just to send a message to anybody else. But their rules say that Girl Scouts should not sell in or in front of establishments that they themselves cannot legally patronize, bars. Joked earlier, sex shops, strip clubs, things like that. They shouldn't be able to do that. So we'll talk. If you want to chime in on this, I want to know if you think the Girl Scouts should be allowed to sell Girl Scout cookies outside of the marijuana dispensaries, because that seems a little much to me. I wouldn't let my daughter do it. 855-839-1210. Coming up, we are going to talk to the folks from JB Bakery, Steve Salina, and Father Drucker. And that's all coming up. I'm Casey Bartholomew, sitting in tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Alive. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
On tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective. Early in my NYPD career, when I was working in a precinct plainclothes anti-crime unit, we got a call of a robbery in progress on Bailey Avenue off the Major Deegan Expressway. So my partner and I rode up. It was a Chinese takeout place. bunch of Chinese guys jumping up and down with cleavers and knives and yelling and screaming. So we finally got them to calm down and we asked for a description. So they gave us a description of two males, said that they basically pointed a gun at them, took some cash, and took off down Bailey Avenue. So my partner and I quickly put one of the victims inside the car. We started canvassing the neighborhood. We put over a detailed description. As we're coming up 231st Street, there's an old Irish bar called P&K's. And what had happened was that particular afternoon, there was a funeral for a cop who had been killed in the line of duty. So as we turn the corner, we see all these cops in their dress blues uniform standing outside. And as soon as we turn the corner, we see all the cops like basically rush back into the bar. And I'm like, what the hell is this? As we pull up to the bar, there's a Chinese guy with a cleaver in his hand and he's jumping up and down. And there's two guys knocked out on the street, one with a bag of money and the other one's right next to him is a black pellet gun. And the guy in the back seat of the car goes, that's them, that's them. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, that's the guys that robbed us. We get out of the car, and from what we could gather from the other complainant that had chased these two guys down the street, while he was chasing them down the street in front of this Irish pub, you had all these cops hanging out outside. They put two and two together. They knocked out the bad guys. They didn't want to get involved in anything, and they walked back into the bar. So basically, all we had to do was kind of wake them up a little bit. They stood up, put handcuffs on them, put them in the back seat of the radio car, and placed them under arrest. So we get into the precinct, we're processing the arrest, and I'm telling the story to my sergeant, and the lieutenant at the time goes, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that they got knocked out by a bunch of cops that were hanging out in a bar? I said, yeah, basically. He goes, what I want you to do is I want you to go back up to that bar. He goes, and find out who's the ones that knocked these guys out, because in case the district attorney wants to know what happened and blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. So my partner and I went back up to the Irish bar. There was like three cops left. They told us they didn't know what the hell we were talking about. They weren't there when it happened. They swore up and down in a stack of Bibles. So basically, there was no one to claim who initiated this arrest. I get back to the precinct and the lieutenant's standing and he goes, where's the cops that initiated this? I said they fell. He goes, they fell? I said, yeah, they said they were running, they tripped, they fell, and they knocked themselves out. And that was the end of it. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD. Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Ah, Sterling every damn night. Casey Bartholomew sitting in. Give us a call, 855-839-1210. It's time for the gang from JB Bakery. So we got Steve Salina and Father Drucker all here with us.
Yep,
Steve,
we're
the
here.
Baker's here.
All right. I'll take it. What am I supposed
Is
to
Father
talk to
Drucker
you guys
on?
About?
We need to talk about how this spring weather is bringing everybody out to the bakery. That's for sure. It's been a busy day. And it's, you know, spring is really kicking in, and St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and the bakery's making traditional St. Patty's Day treats like Irish soda bread, Irish potato candy, little candies that look like Irish potatoes.
Yeah, I was going to say potato and, candy?
Yeah, Walter has a recipe for this one, and this candy is like that kind of little treat that was made like in grade school, maybe if families used to make these, or the little candies made out of coconut and sugar and cream cheese and butter, and they're rolled up into little bite size pieces and they're dipped in cinnamon, so cool. they're sweet, plus they have like a nice cinnamon bite to them, so it's just like a fun thing to make during St. Patty's Day, and it's like one of those things where they're so addictive, you keep eating them and eating them. You don't want to eat them until, like, again, until, like, next St. Patrick's Day. It's like one of those things.
And then, you own a bakery. How do you not weigh 600 pounds? Or maybe you do. I've never seen
I work,
you.
I stay in shape by working my buns off.
There you go. That's good. So those right. are the big, what else is big selling at the bakery these days? I should have called you before. You know, my daughter's getting married in 2 months. We were having a hell of a time finding somebody to make the cake. I should have known you guys a while back.
Definitely. Speaking of cake, you got to tell them about the Irish Bailey's cupcake, Steve. You got to tell them what's in that cupcake, because that is definitely one of our best sellers at this time of year. It's not only our chocolate cupcake, but it's got Bailey's frosting and a shot of Bailey's in a little pipette shoved in the cupcake. It's got sprinkles on it and an Irish potato on top. So
and you give those to kids, right?
Of course,
you give those to the kiddies, sure.
Definitely. That's perfect for them. It'll keep them quiet, that's for sure.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's what people in the old days used to do that to kids. They give them Bailey's cupcakes to make them go to bed at night. Sure. That happens all the time. So Bailey's cupcakes, so is this an adult bakery?
Not everything is adult, but, you know, I mean, we try to make something for everybody. We even make dog treats.
Really?
Yep, we've got pretty much everything. I mean, cakes, cookies, things for adults, things for kids. We try to make everything.
That's cool. I love it. That's fantastic.
Making donuts right now. Donuts every day, fresh donuts. Mm-hmm. Pretty much known for having the best donut in New Jersey, so working on the best donut in the country as well. So, you know, we're right off the New Jersey Turnpike exit 5, so if anybody's in the area, because the weather's so nice, I'm keeping the doors open until at least midnight. So if anybody's around, they can come in and get fresh donuts.
So what city is that, exit 5?
It's Burlington City,
okay.
Right off the foot of the Burlington-Bristol Bridge, right across from Philly, and exit 5 off the New Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, because I lived off exit 7 for a little while, I think, so we weren't too
far
away.
That's the Great Adventure exit.
Is that the Great Adventure exit? Then that wasn't it, because I lived in Mount Laurel. Where the hell was that?
Exit 4.
Four, that's it. Oh, so you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I had brain fog. If I had known about you guys at the time, I would have come out and found you.
Yeah, actually, the bakery brings people from all over. It's a landmark place.
Yeah.
So they're far and few right now, you know, bakeries, but it's an old school shop. We make everything here at the, you know, right in the kitchen, and everything is made, you know, scratch.
It's always better to go to one of the local places like that. It's always better than to go to one of the chains.
Exactly.
You know?
So,
go ahead.
I'm also featuring a Shamrock Shake cake. So it's kind of like it's a spinoff of like the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's.
Yeah.
And it's creamy and minty, and it has green cake, minty green cake, and also chocolate cake in it.
Oh wow!
So. It's like it's a springtime fun thing, kind of like having a Shamrock Shake cake, like Shamrock Shake from McDonald's. So it has that kind of flavor to it.
That sounds good. I like Shamrock Shakes. I could do that. Now, Selena, I was told I was supposed to ask you about beauty pageants.
Yes, you can ask me about beauty pageants.
So you're married to him?
Yeah, well.
You're married to Steve?
I'm not married to him, no.
Oh,
I mean, Walter likes to ask us about that, too. That's what I talked about on Wednesday, was whether or not we were married. We're not married. We're dating, though.
Oh, you are?
And I do help him run this bakery.
How do you go from a beauty pageant queen to dating a guy who works at a bakery? I would think someone like you would avoid bakeries like the plague.
Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like I've lived a lot of different lives, and I love and enjoy baked goods. I've always loved to bake, and I ended up working at the bakery while I was in college, and then that's how we met, and then I got into beauty pageants. I actually have only been doing them for about a year now, and I was a pre-professional dancer for most of my life before that. So that's how I got into pageants. So, you know, it's kind of an unlikely... I guess bakeries and pageants and dancing don't necessarily go together, but it is very much, you know, they're all a part of my life in some way. So I enjoy all of them.
Which is more evil? Where is there more violence or a potential violence at a bakery, in the bakery game, or in beauty pageants? Because I heard that those were cutthroat.
Definitely a beauty pageant. I think the least violent place in the world should be a bakery. I mean, everybody's happy. And then if someone comes in violent, like, you know, if somebody came in really angry, I just hand them a cupcake, and then that makes everything better.
You shove a Bailey's cupcake down their throat, and then they're drunk and tired, and then they go to sleep. And that's that's how you deal with it. I'm fascinated by all this. So you did the pageant. You did the pageant. So you've only been doing the pageants for a year, and you work at the bakery?
I do a lot of different things. Yep.
Yeah. So do you only work there because you're dating the guy?
No.
Or Steve, did you only hire her or start dating her so you didn't have to pay her? How does this work? I'm trying to figure out the finances.
She's going to be getting extra Bailey's cupcakes, that's for sure.
that's
as a bonus.
That's how I get my wife in the mood. Great. All right, guys. Well, best of luck to you. I know Walter will be talking to you again. I appreciate you guys coming on. I'm sorry. I had no idea this was happening, so I didn't have anything prepared to ask you, but it was a lot of fun, so thanks a lot. That's Steve and Selena from JB Bakery in Burlington City, exit 5 off the New Jersey Perkin. And Father Drucker, was Father Drucker? I didn't talk to Father Drucker. I screwed that up. Sorry, Father Drucker. I apologize for that. All right. I'm Casey Bartholomew, sitting in tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling. Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling across the USA.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Casey Bartholomew sitting in tonight. Give us a call, 855-839-1210. It's 855-839-1210. I have to apologize again to Father Drucker. I didn't know he was there. I got talking to Steve and Selena from JB Bakery, so I apologize to Father Drucker for that. So that was my bad. So my many apologies. Right now I want to talk to you about, did you know they're going to try to screw you over at the store? Shocking, I know. They're going to do something that they're calling dynamic pricing. These are the words they come up with. These are the euphemisms that they come up with. Like we were talking about earlier with the guy who called from California. They don't call it tax increases anymore. They're revenue enhancements. Because nobody ever died over revenue enhancements. People have fought wars over taxes, but we've never had a war over revenue enhancements. So they tell us happy things and we go, okay. So instead of telling us they're going to stab us in the front and screw us over on every possible level they can, when it comes to buying things, they're going to call it dynamic pricing. Here's how it works. They use digital shelf labels. So, you know, in the old days, they would go by, they would go by with the pricing gun. They would set it, and then they would zap it. Little stickers would come out. Not even zap it. They would just slam the sticker down on it. And that'd be your damn price. And it would be that price until they got around to peeling the sticker off and going and changing it. That's what it would be. Now, I don't even think they're going to put price tags on everything. They're going to have digital signs over everything. And then when you go to buy something, it'll say it's whatever, $5. I use simple numbers, by the way, because math is both hard and unnecessary. I tell my son that all the time. And I wonder why he has trouble in math, because I tell him he doesn't need it. I have an iPhone that does math for me. But either way, it's difficult. So you say something's $5. You can literally have a scenario where something happens out in the world, like a war in Iran. I don't know what we get from Iran besides gas. What else do they have there? Sand. If we wanted sand, if we wanted to buy some fresh sand just off the boat from Iran, right? And the war happens, and then all of a sudden the price of sand goes through the roof. Sand commodities are just ridiculous. You could go buy some sand at the store, walk around the store, and by the time you get to the cash register, the price of said sand could go up. That's what I'm talking about. You better go buy, grab it, and run. I mean, run over elderly people in order to get to the cash register and buy your whatever item you're buying, because with dynamic digital pricing, the price could change like that. That wasn't a good snap. I lick my finger. No, I can't do it. Anyway, it's called dynamic or surveillance pricing. I think they should do away with surveillance pricing. That sounds creepy. Sounds like they're watching me, which they are. But it sounds like they're watching me. Let's see, buying that. What are we selling that for? $5? Again, easy numbers. Change it to 7. And by the time he gets to the cash register, it'll be too expensive. And he'll pay it because he's already carried it around the store. That's the way it's going to work. Anyway, it's called dynamic or surveillance pricing, and companies base prices on demand, competitors, cost of goods, and even what consumers are willing to pay. They often use powerful artificial intelligence models, as we will all be the slave to our artificial AI masters in the coming days. and I did say days, but they use powerful artificial intelligence models to analyze vast data and make predictions on when the best time to raise or lower prices is. This is a big deal. Gosh, this has to be 15, maybe 20 years ago. I remember Coca-Cola machines, soda machine, maybe it wasn't Coca-Cola. This is soda machines. They would put them out, and when they had temperature gauges in them. And when the temperature went up outside, the price of a bottle of soda would go up because people would pay more for it, right? It's hot outside. You want something cold. And people would go there, and they'd buy it, and then the price would go up. And people went nuts over it, and now we've forgotten about it. So now literally in stores, like I read about this happening in Walmart, that they're going to literally be able to raise the price while you're in the store. I've seen that happen at gas stations, by the way. I've been at a gas station when they were changing the price and been happy because I got gas before the price went up. But while they were changing the price, happened when I lived in South Carolina and Katrina hit. Which made me mad because in South Carolina, we didn't get our gas from the Gulf. We got it from the port. So the Gulf didn't do anything for us. But because they lie, cheat, and steal when it comes to raising gas prices, there wasn't anything I could do about it. I mean, I could complain about it. And I did. And I complained about it on my radio show, but I still bought the gas, so it didn't matter. But according to George Slover, great name, Competition Policy Council for the Center for Democracy and Technology. He said the technology is readily available to sellers and is becoming easier to use and more powerful with the advance of artificial intelligence, who will be our masters soon. He told a panel of Democratic lawmakers in the Pennsylvania legislature this last week, he said the temptation to use it will be irresistible. Yeah. Because it'll be able to screw you over. Could probably be done with time. It'll probably be surge pricing. Which, but gouging, by the way, this is price gouging. This is what happens. You ever heard about that? Of course you have. Of a blizzard out here. There'll be snow all over the place. People, it'll be hard to get out and get gas. And suddenly the price will go up, even though it doesn't need to. And they try to clamp down on that, but they don't always do it. And then there's weird definitions about what price gouging is. So you hear about it and you hear the politicians go, we shall fight. And then it all kind of peters out once the disaster is over. You hear about it in like places where there's hurricanes, any hotel rooms, things like that. Everything goes up. So we always do it. Of course they do. And you could literally be in a situation where you are in the grocery store. Where you're at Walmart or Target, walking through the store. There have been times when I've looked at something, and I rarely pay full price for anything. I am the guy at the clearance rack. That's why my wardrobe is so fashionable. And many people covet my style. Is because I'm over there buying, I pay like $4 for a shirt, something like that, right? Which should tell you something, because if it gets down to $4 and it's still there, that means nobody else wanted it. That's how I dress. The ship has sailed, all right? The sexy ship sailed and I'm not on it. And that's just the way I look at it. As long as my penis is covered, that's the only thing that has. I don't care about the fashion guessing of it all, the judgment. Anyway, I could buy something for $4. They could watch me walking around the store. I put it in my shopping cart for $4. They could watch me walking around the store. And they could literally change the price on me. That's what dynamic or surveillance pricing is. If I've got it in my cart and I'm walking to the cash register, they could bump it up an extra buck. And I'll go, I thought this was only $4. And they'll go back and check and they'll say $5 or whatever the case may be. Because, again, I pay a lot for my clothes. Pennsylvania right now, which is where the hearings were, doesn't have laws against dynamic pricing, meaning a trip to the grocery store could feel more like a trip to the gas pump. A bill in the state Senate in Pennsylvania seeks to prevent that. Senate Bill 1205 would label changing prices for essential goods and services within a 24-hour period based on demand or other factors, including AI, as an unfair method of competition. So you, but they could still do it after 24 hours or within 20, after 24 hours, but it'd only be on the essential goods. So like I said, if you're buying a shirt and you're walking through the store, they could gut you like a fish right there. And that would be it. They could put the with the digital price tags. Isn't it sad, by the way, that there has to be an inconvenience for them to care about the consumer? Because the inconvenience would be if they had to actually go out there and change the price on things. If they actually had to go out there and put a shiny new sticker on everything or a new sign up whenever they wanted to. As it will stand with dynamic or surveillance pricing. Again, that sounds so creepy to me. I don't know why. Because the word surveillance is creepy. When is surveillance ever a bad thing? Never. That sounds like such a creepy thing. But they'll be able to sit in the manager's office or whatever, type in a new price, click send, and that'll be the price. And they'll be able to do it while you're in the store. Now, they will probably make some song and dance about how we're going to try not to do that. We're certainly not going to go out of our way to do X, Y, Z. But it's going to happen because all they care about is profit. And that's fine. I'm a capitalist. I care about profit, too. But I got to feel like there's a little something on my side. There's a little something in my corner. And if they make the digital signs, then they're just going to raise the price on everything. And they're going to do it the way those soda machines I was talking about earlier did it, based on the time of day. The price is going to go up on whatever Saturdays when there's more people in the store. Everybody's doing their grocery shopping. That's when the price of everything is going to go through the roof. I want to know if you think this is fair. Because it doesn't feel like it to me. Again, I don't mind, you know, the prices, but they got to give me a chance. They shouldn't be able to screw me over because I was wandering around the store. And I took too long to buy my $4 shirt, and now it's $5 or $6. I've got people who monitor my fashion. Find out what I'm going to wear before they dress. That's the way it goes when you're on the radio. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number here. That's 855-839-1210. We'll take your phone calls on that. I'll also talk about some scams that are going on in the Philadelphia area. That's all coming up. I'm Casey Bartholomew. It is 1147. You're listening to Sterling every damn night.
It's Casey Bartholomew. He's solving a problem for you.
Casey Bartholomew sitting in for Walter Sterling. It's Sterling every damn night. Give us a call at 855-839-1210. I always love these stories because I read them and I go, what in the hell are people thinking? Philadelphia courts warned residents earlier today of an ongoing text scam that claims to be demanding payment for a toll violation on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. By the way, I get these all the time. That doesn't bother me. It bothers me that my dad gets them all the time because my dad is always calling me or one of my brothers and saying, I got this. And we're like, no, stop, bad, naughty. Don't do anything. Touch nothing. Don't do anything. Because he's old. He went to high school with Jesus. And he freaks out anytime he gets any email or any message. We've thought about taking his phone. We took his car keys away. We don't want him to kill anybody. But he gets scared now when he gets these things. And that's why they usually prey on the elderly. Like I said, I get them all the time. I just click them. Send them to junk, but they still come in all over the place. The texts pretend to be from the traffic division of Philadelphia Municipal Court and say that people must pay the fine or appear in court. Officials are urging people who receive the texts to ignore it and to not scan the QR code included in the message. Never scan the QR code included in the message. I got a scam thing just the other day on my Gmail account, and it was from Microsoft telling me that my Gmail account had been compromised. And I was like, why is Microsoft telling me my Gmail account has been compromised? So I just swiped it away and sent it to junk. Didn't even look at it. And you don't ever scan the QR code. Never scan the QR. I don't, unless you're in the facility and they are standing there trying to give you the QR code, even then I'm bothered for it. But they say don't do it. The courts are also reminding people that they would never send any kind of demand for payment via text. Never, ever, 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 ever. And like I said, they do this. They try to scare the elderly. And that's, you know, that's not even an insult to the elderly. They just do it because not you. If you're elderly, you're sharp. But there's dumb elderly people out there who are scared by the evil iPhone robots that call them all the time, and they'll give up everything. And you can see that stuff on the interwebs all the time where people, I lost all my money. Why'd you lose all your money? This guy called and said, give me all your money or someone's going to steal it. And I said, okay. And then they got nothing. And we're all supposed to feel bad for them, and we do, but, you know. This is why the elderly should be kept off to the side in like colonies where people will take care of them. It's just, you ever see the movie Logan's Run? I'm not willing to go that far. But like, once everybody hit 30, they killed them. I'm not willing to do that. But if we just like built colonies for the elderly to go, and we could go visit them, like zoos, we could go visit them and see our families, our parents, and things like that. But they don't get to have cell phones. They have to have the old rotary phones. Those are the ones they have to get. And all in and out communications are monitored because otherwise these people are giving away all their money. And I could be a little selfish and say they're giving away all my inheritance, but my dad doesn't have any inheritance. So there's just nothing to worry about there. I just think it's just for your own good. And then you'll be there and you'll be safe. And you don't have to worry about anybody screwing you over, and your family will love you and take care of you. Instead, people like my dad call us at 3 o'clock in the morning because he lives in California and he has no concept of time change or anything like that. Say, okay, so I got this email. No, Just don't. I don't know why he calls me. I don't live in California where he lives. My other brother lives in California where he lives. I don't know why they don't talk to him, but they don't. He just calls me. Or my other brother. So it's one of the evil, nasty things they do. And again, I mean this all in the nicest way. He got told that he owed $10,000 to a hospital he had never been to. And there was a link. And he said, should I click the link? And I went, Dad, if you want to wipe all of your money out, if you want to wipe every bit of money you have left to ease you to the end of your life, if you want to come and live in my basement, absolutely click the link. If not, delete the email. You weren't at that hospital ever. So they don't deserve any of your money in any way, shape, or form. But these are the things they do, and I wonder why people fall for them. But they issue the warnings because people do, in fact, fall for them. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk to you about the idea of assisted suicide. I'm Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in on Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Casey Bartholomew sitting in on Sterling every damn night. Give us a call, 855-839-1210. Coming up, we're going to talk about the idea of assisted suicide. That's coming up.
It's Casey Bartholomew. He's better than Phil Donahue. And he's on Sterling every damn night.
Casey Bartholomew sitting in on Sterling every damn night. Give us a call at 855-839-1210. Canada. The godless neighbors to the north, basically a suburb of America. I don't know why they get mad about that. It was fun to watch them all cry and be, when we beat them in the Olympics. But either way. They performed thousands of same-day assisted suicides as it was revealed one elderly woman was killed despite withdrawing her request the day before. Well, that's kind of the risk you take with a same-day suicide, isn't it? The Medical Assistance in Dying Program, or MAID, M-A-I-D, was approved in the year of our Lord 2016 and has since been expanded to include requests from patients whose deaths are not reasonably foreseeable. So you can kill yourself in Canada. Let's be honest, if you lived in Canada, not much happened. And when, since they lost the Olympic medals, there's literally no reason to live in Canada. But either way, but it will soon include those with mental illness. That's that's just, you know, they're supposed to be nicer than us, right? Because they don't, I don't even think they have an army. I know they have an army, but it's a fake army. It's like the Boy Scouts. The Canadian army is basically the Boy Scouts, only not as well trained. Anyway, now they want to kill their crazy people. By the way, who gets to decide? Does the crazy person get to decide? Does the mentally ill person get to decide that they want to kill? Doesn't that bring up some ramifications there? I don't know. Anyway, more than 200 people in Ontario alone chose to die within 24 hours of their approval in 2023. This is what a 2024 report found. And 100% of those 200 people wanted to die because they realized they lived in Canada. Of the 219 deaths, 30% of them chose a same-day procedure. I wonder if they know that going in. I wonder if they know that going in, or they just get there and they go, oof, man, that's a mess. Okay, why don't we, let me make a few calls, and we'll just knock this out right now. Is that cool? Is everybody good? Can we do that? And the Canadians, ever trying to be polite, just say, sure, yeah, we'll do that. Why not? Now, in 2024 alone, across all of Canada, 16,500 people participated in the MAID assisted suicide program, which is smaller than I thought it would be because, again, they live in Canada and that's a problem. A man who was identified only as Mr. C, like from Happy Days, made a MAID request 5 days after he was admitted to the hospital for cancer. Good for him. I have no issue with assisted suicide. I think we're too touchy about that. I got to be completely honest with you. If a human being is found to be, I don't like the mentally ill part, by the way. That's, everybody always asks me, where's the line? Because I've talked about this many times over the years on talk radio. Everybody always said, well, where's the line? Where's the line? I think the mental ill issue. I think there's the line. Because they're mentally ill. They're not in control of their faculties. Obviously, we can't just go ahead and kill them. But if you've got cancer, if you've got something terminal, if you know that somewhere down the road, I mean, we all know we're going to die somewhere down the road. But if we know that I've got this diagnosis, I am in fact going to die. If I decide that I want to don't want to go through that horrible pain and they'll help me out, I don't see an issue with that. I didn't think Jack Kevorkian was all that bad. I got to be honest. Anyway, he wanted, this Mr. C guy made his request 5 days after he was admitted to the hospital for cancer. His condition rapidly deteriorated and he became delirious. Despite his mental state, a medical provider proceeded to vigorously rouse him so he could mouth yes when asked about his request. He was then killed. So he was delirious, and they got him up and said, just say yes. Just say yes. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to do here. But just say yes, and we'll take care of this for you, all right? He mouthed the words yes, and he's gone. Canada got rid of the 10-day reflection period following a request in 2021, leaving eligible patients to only have to prove their condition is intolerable. I think if I was diagnosed with terminal cancer, that's intolerable. I wouldn't tolerate that. I wouldn't want my kids and my wife and everybody to see me waste away and have that memory. You know, I would make my peace with everybody. Not peace. I would just make my peace with myself and say my goodbyes to everybody. And I'd be on my way. Gotta run. See you guys. It's been fun. I liked living, but it has been decided by cancer that I'm not going. I think as an individual, I should get to make that decision. I don't think the government should be making that for me. That's just me. Canada got rid of the 10-day reflection period. Those who are approved but those whose natural death is not reasonably foreseeable do have to wait a 90-day waiting period and get two physicians to sign off on their request. Canadians being very polite, you just ask them to sign off, and then they do. That's the way it works. However, a report found that many deaths were completed before the 90-day mark. There is an exception for those who could lose their capacity to consent within those 90 days to move forward with their procedure. Should we do this here? Serious question. We should allow, if somebody is, like I said, I don't like the idea of the mentally ill. It's just a recipe for disaster if that's going on. But if everybody's of sound mind and body and they get some terminal diagnoses and then they just decide, you know what, I would really like to take care of this. I don't even have a problem if it's same day, if somebody wants to do that. If you're going to die and you don't want to be in pain, you don't want to be drugged up, you don't want to live like that, I'm cool with it. And I am the one who gets to make that decision, by the way. Radio talk show hosts are pretty high up on the list of people who get to make that decision. But a lot of people think, no, you can't. No, you can't do that. So you're basically telling somebody that they have to suffer. You're basically telling their family they have to suffer because you don't like it. I'll be completely honest. If I don't know the person, I'm really not going to lose any sleep. If I don't know the person who wants to have the assisted suicide, I'm good with it. I'm cool. We're good. We're good. We're absolutely good. You want to do that to yourself? You want to end your life? Again, I would like a terminal diagnosis, and I wouldn't like mentally ill people being able to do it. But if you get a terminal diagnosis and you are of your sound mind and body and you want to do that, we're good. I'm cool with it. Even if a loved one wanted to do it, I would understand. Because I don't want to watch, like, any family member of mine. I don't want to watch them suffer. It's depressing, and I don't want to cry. But if they come to me and they say, hey, I've made this decision, I'll say, you sure? They're going to say, yeah. I'm like, all right, I support your decision. That's fine. I don't think we should be in the business of making people suffer because we don't like the idea. It's none of my business, so I don't care about it. So I want to know, if you want to chime in on this, because apparently they do it in Canada, and I'll be honest, it bugs me a little bit when Canada has a better idea than the United States. Because I don't think they've had one since, like, maple syrup, and I'm not even sure they came up with that. They probably stole it because they're Canadian. But anyway, would you be okay if we allowed people to have assisted suicide in this country en masse, same day, too? Like I said, if Canada's doing it, we can't let them beat us at anything. They already can't beat us at hockey. So it's 855-839-1210 is the number here. That's 855-839-1210. We'll take your calls and get into some other stuff coming up. I'm Casey Bartholomew. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night.
The people of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night.
According to the wonderful police department of Monroe, Louisiana. Have you ever been to Monroe? Yeah, it's okay. It's not a garden spot, but it's not terrible either. Great Cajun food, wonderful people, great times had by all. Well, according to the Monroe Police Department, there was somebody, and they haven't identified whether this is a man or a woman or someone in between, has been accused of taking lewd videos inside a Walmart for busybodies, or what I like to call allies of good folks. Chased this person out of that Walmart to their vehicle, kicked their car as these people were driving away with their attempted lewd videos. A lot of times the police can't get there fast enough, and as the wonderful Walmart associates are terrific and they care about the customers and they're all about it, the Walmart associates are looking for people stealing, not for the lewd video takers. Now, we don't have a play-by-play of what this person was doing, whether this was an upskirt person or whether this was somebody going under the dressing room where women were trying on Walmart fashions. We don't necessarily know. But in Monroe, Louisiana, they catch you doing that, they're going to chase you out, and they're going to chase you to your car and go. No word on whether the Good Samaritans took down the license plate number of the lewd videotaker or attempted lewd videotaker. We don't know that. Hopefully they did. Or this fine videographer, a little bit of a perv apparently, allegedly. This perv is going to be visited by the good people of Monroe PD. And they're going to take care of business. Videography, it's a very good hobby to pick up. Photography, etc. That being said, don't take upskirt pictures. Don't use the video feature on your camera to look for lascivious and titillating type of videos for your dirty and raunchy enjoyment. It's not good. Don't do it. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
It's Casey Bartholomew, because Walter's forgotten who is supposed to do Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Casey Bartholomew sitting in. Give us a call at 855-839-1210. That's 855-839-1210. I've heard of this sort of thing before. This is happening in Plum, Pennsylvania. I've never heard of Plum, Pennsylvania. Police say more than 60 high school age kids were at a drinking party in Plum over the weekend. What? Kids drinking? I'm shocked. I am stunned. This happens, right? Some parents want to be the cool parents. Some parents want to be have control over this sort of stuff and have the safe place for where the kids can get wasted and have wild drinking parties. Well, two parents are now facing a long list of charges, and their neighbors are, I guess, they are shocked. A call to the Safe to Say Something program alerted police to a major underage party at a home in the Whispering Pines neighborhood of Plum on Saturday. That's a youth violence prevention program with the state attorney general's office. When police arrived at about 10:30 p.m., they heard someone inside yell for everyone to go to the basement. Just so you know, when the police are outside and you yell for everyone to go to the basement, that is a red flag. I am not a legal expert. I'm a radio talk show host. But I believe that could be deemed reasonable cause to enter your home and look wherever they damn well play. I'm just throwing it out there. When police arrived around 10:30, again, they heard someone yell for everyone to go to the basement. Police met the homeowner, Corrine Dryberg. Great name. She allowed officers to look through the kitchen and living room, but did not want them to go downstairs because that's where all the drunk teenagers were. And they didn't want anybody to see that. According to police paperwork, one teenage girl in the kitchen was drinking a Surfside vodka drink and ran from them. Again, that would be another red flag. If you got reports of teenagers drinking in your home, large amounts of teenagers drinking in your home, and there's one doing so in the kitchen when the cops come in, not a lawyer, not a legal expert, but again, reasonable cause to search, that sort of thing. I think that's kind of right there. In the basement, the officer found more than 30 teenagers, all with different alcoholic drinks. Well, I guess they were letting them sample everything there, I guess, is the way we're looking at that, I guess, which is dumb. Police said they found 25 to 30 opened or empty beer cans, seltzers, and malt beverages. There was a beer pong table, three bottles of vodka, and several mini bottles of flavored vodka and Jello shots throughout the basement. We want to be the cool parents. We want to be the parents who just let the kids drink here and let them know it's safe. I suppose there's an argument for that. If I found out my underage drinking kid was at a drinking party at your house, I would bring a bat over to your home and beat you over the head with it a lot. That's for me to decide, not you. Even if you want to be the cool parent, these are the kind of parents who, again, no allegations here. These are the kind of parents who end up, you read about them a lot. The mom or the dad end up in bed somewhere. Just saying, just throwing that out there. Now, police said there were 65 teens at the home, including one 19-year-old, seven 18-year-olds, 30 17-year-olds, 21 16-year-olds, and six 15-year-olds. Obviously, we don't get their names, but these parents just wanted to make sure the kids were safe, so they let them come in and get massively wasted in their home. Police said Dreiberg told them that it was her daughter's 17th birthday and said that the party got out of hand. She and her husband, Ian, were the only people older than 21 in the home, and they let a bunch of teenagers get out of hand with them. You know what you do? You throw the kids out who bring the alcohol because you look like you're paying attention, right? And if they don't leave, then you call the police. You don't just throw your hands up and go, well, I guess everybody's drinking here. And you also, by the way, just as an aside, if you're going to tell the police that things got out of hand, you don't immediately yell for everyone to run downstairs into the basement because the cops showed up. Also, police said this isn't the first time they've had issues at this house. One officer responded Saturday, said it was his third time he was called to the house for massive underage drinking parties. Again, these are idiots who want to be the cool parents. If you want to make that, I don't agree with it, by the way. You want to make that decision for your kid to get drunk in your house? I don't agree with that. But I'm not going to say anything. You want to make that decision for my kid? Again, I'm going to hit you over the head with something heavy over and over and over again. 855-839-1210 is the number here. My name is Casey Bartholomew, and you're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night, from sea to shining sea.
Casey Bartholomew sitting in tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night. Give us a call at 855-839-1210. That's 855-839-1210. Using words is hard. This is amazing to me. I am no good at this game. One of my dreams has always been to have my own skee ball table. I have always wanted. I was this close to buying one. Years ago, and then my daughter was born, and it was determined by both me and my wife that it would be too loud in the basement if I was doing that when the baby was around. Also, when I get new toys, I tend to disappear, and if I was having a baby, we didn't want that to happen. So I never got to have my own skee ball table. They say it may have taken years, but a man who has been able to turn his dream into a reality, Joey the Cat is his name. That's how he's known. He opened an arcade, and he got the ball rolling on the very first official skee ball league in San Francisco. This is where this is at. So there are skee ball leagues other places, which I didn't know about, because if I had, I would have joined one. Like I said, I'm not very good. You know, you got to use the ricochet off the net and everything like that. But skee ball is a game most people fondly remember playing as a kid. But for Joey the Cat, he turned fun and games into a profitable business. Joey Muka, I'm going to help mispronounce that. He said the cat came from a nickname that I got in college. Just sort of a metaphor for being on the prowl on Thursday night. Oh, sexy. Then when I joined the competitive skee ball league, that was my alter skee-go. Get it? That I gave. Muka is a 3-time national champion and originally bought a skee ball machine to practice in his home. He now owns hundreds of arcade games and rents them to dozens of bars in San Francisco. He says, my passion is for skee ball. And putting it into bars and other venues basically blossomed the business that was very organic. The space used to be a warehouse for the arcade games, but owning his own arcade was the ultimate dream. And now he has his own skee ball tournaments and leagues and all that sort of stuff. And I think that would be the coolest thing ever. I think that would be the coolest thing ever to be able to have a skee ball league somewhere. I think you'd probably have to... more than likely, depending on where you went, you'd probably have to provide your own skee ball machines. Otherwise, it would be a bunch of grown adults at Chuck E. Cheese. And that's creepy on so many different levels that I just don't think that should be allowed to happen. But he said it was a lot of work, a mixture of red tape, construction rows, the pandemic was in the middle of all of it. Then just really seeing the vision through took a lot of tenacity. Who would have thought? We knew that COVID was evil. It was evil, right? We knew that the Chinese who started it were evil. We knew that COVID was evil. But did we think it was stomp on a skee ball dream evil? I don't think we did. In fact, I don't think many of us ever considered it. But he had the big league. He's got players. One of them's name's Elisa Yee. She said, I did this as a kid. We went to Chuck E. Cheese. See? As a kid. And I'm like, oh, my God, a skee ball league. It's perfect. The name of her team is the Pickle Rollers. Okay. She said, it doesn't matter if her team finishes in last place or first. All she does is like playing. And I tend to agree with that philosophy. And now I am on the hunt for my own skee ball table to start my own skee ball league of me. One guy, I don't want to play against people because you'll beat me. All right, Casey Bartholomew sitting in tonight. You have been listening to Sterling every damn night.
If you're in Atlanta on Monday, you don't want to go see a Hawks game because the Hawks are honoring a destination for many of the players of NBA teams, Magic City, which is a gentleman's club in beautiful Atlanta. And yeah, they're being honored getting their own night at the Atlanta Hawks. There's been a little bit of blowback. Some problems, of course, there are professional athletes who get caught into, shall we say, domestic violence situations. And the major leagues, the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, they generally do whatever they can to show that they care about women and respecting women. That being said, nearly every pro athlete, after the game or on an off night, you can find them at the Gentlemen's Club dropping Benjis. The NBA guys have a lot of money. They make the most of all the different athletes. And they're dropping big bucks. Big bucks in gentlemen's clubs. Draymond Green, who is plays for another team in the NBA, plays for the Golden State Warriors. Draymond said he didn't understand why everyone was so upset, because stripping is kind of like an art. Wow! He is so right. It's an art form. It's beautiful, lovely ladies dancing in a provocative, erotic way to tantalize men. Next time, guys, you want to go to the strip club? Tell your wife you're going to a museum with your buddies to have a few beers. Yeah, you're going to watch some art. You and your buddies just picked up a wonderful new hobby of supporting the arts. And if she wants to come, you say, oh, no, no, this is a guy's thing. Guys just do this. Guys love art, too. From the Champagne Room with a dancer named Rembrandt, I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. All right, for our next Florida story, we're going down to the Jacksonville area, and you can take the beautiful template for the story of a message in a bottle, a message that is tucked away from one stranger to another, spanning time, spanning distance, and Florida can just ruin anything. So what we have here is well, you know what? I'll let the Channel 12 down in the Jacksonville area share the story here. This is the NBC affiliate in Jacksonville.
Hey, Louie. Yes, Sheila and Teban Piles were doing their yearly neighborhood cleanup in South Jacksonville, Florida last February when they came across this old bottle that said, "Look inside." On the inside, they found a note from a Ron Clark from Texas. So they set out to find him.
We were all hooting and hollering. I said, "Check this out, Jim. I got an actual message in a bottle, man." And it was like, holy cow.
And it included a Texas address.
Based on the handwriting, we thought it was a child. And the bottle was aged, we thought, around the 80s. And so when I went on Facebook, because I was like, if it was a child, they probably don't live at that address anymore.
So Sheila put a post in Mevin's community Facebook group with the letter and bottle, hoping the Ron Clark who wrote the letter or someone who knew him would see it.
Looked at the letter and everything else, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is my handwriting. And unfortunately, my handwriting hasn't gotten any better since I was 10 or 11. But it was no doubt it was me.
Ron Clark, now 39, said he was at his grandparents' home in Florida when he threw the note in a bottle in the St. John's River, right where the Piles live now.
Did you catch the details there? This is the lamest message in a bottle story possible. So some kid is visiting his grandparents in Florida in the 80s, and he puts a message in a bottle, and he throws it from his grandparents' little spot. 39 years later, another couple finds it literally a few feet down. It didn't go anywhere. It just stayed, like the kid threw it. It probably got stuck within a matter of minutes, and it's been there for 39 years. This is the absolute lamest message in a bottle story possible. And I know the urge to make a police reference or maybe a sting punchline is almost irresistible.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen. Alizira turned toward me, placing her hands on my chest. "You're not upset?" "No, why would I be?" With one finger, I tilted her chin upward to meet my gaze, the moonlight reflected in her emerald eyes. "Regardless, if this is all part of who you are, then I look forward to everything you're willing to share with me." Her eyes closed as I leaned down. I brushed my lips across hers with the faintest of touches, afraid if I pushed too far, she'd be summoned away again. No one appeared to interrupt us, and the gentle gesture paved the way for a more zealous kiss. She slid her palms over my shoulders, locking her fingers behind me, and her lips parted to welcome me inside. The sweet taste of honeyed wine on her tongue drove me wild with desire. I tightened my grasp on her waist, pressing her body to mine. As I explored her luscious mouth, I threaded my free hand through her thick curls. When I grazed the bare skin at the base of her neck, she shuddered. "Stay with me tonight," she purred against me in between kisses. "I want to be with you." My heart thudded until I thought it might explode. I couldn't believe what I'd heard. "Are you sure? We haven't known each other for very long, and I don't want you to think I know all I need to know about you, Caleb." Her fists knotted in the collar of my shirt, and her hips rolled toward me. And when I shivered in the corner of my cold, terrible cell, thoughts of you kept me warm. I imagined what it would be like to be safe in your arms, to feel your body touching mine. She traced the edge of the shirt, fingertips leaving a blazing trail across my skin. And I wondered if you thought the same things about me. Her words aroused all sorts of provocative memories. I did. Leave me. I did. I took her hand and kissed the top of it. I suppose it's in poor taste to refuse a queen's invitation in her own castle. Alizira tossed her head back and laughed, a wide grin spreading over her face. Let's go inside. View from the balcony will be even more spectacular at sunrise. A jumble of feelings, from disbelief to red-hot lust, clouded my mind as I followed her back through the doors. Inside her chambers, she used an iron rod to stoke the embers inside a fireplace. Once she had rekindled the flames, she walked the perimeter of the room, extinguishing all the lamps hanging from the walls. When the last of the light came from the dancing fire, she stood in front of it and beckoned to me. I walked slowly, taking in the sight of her exaggerated hourglass figure silhouetted against the orange blaze. Alizira reached for the bottom of my shirt and gave it a yank. Grateful the darkness camouflaged some of my nervous blushing, pulled off the lightweight garment and let it flutter away. Before it hit the floor, she swanned back into my arms and guided me down for another kiss. The heat emanating from the hearth mingled with the fervor building between us. As her chest flattened against me, the plush fabric of her dress rubbed across my bare skin, teasing me with what lay beneath. Without relinquishing control of her lips, I skimmed my palms over the swell of her hips, drawing them up her sides and to the front of her body. Pliant flesh bulged over the top of her snug bodice, begging for attention. I cupped it through the thick velvet, and a soft moan escaped from her mouth into mine. She steered me toward the ties holding her bodice in place. I unfastened the knot, and the weight of her chest helped me loosen the laces. Dipping my hands inside the open flaps, I slid the gown off her shoulders. She pulled away to slip her arms out of the sleeves, and the dress cascaded off her body. Carefully, she stepped out of the burgundy puddle, removing her embroidered slippers as she did so. The roaring blaze in the fireplace bathed her in an ethereal glow, exposing every inch of her to me. Oh my, I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Email WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Musical director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brook, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance Craig Kitchen, program originated by Chris Olivero, long-suffering executives David Yagaroff and Greg Stalker, with respect Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.